People are too sensitive.
All right. All right, 81. Yep. Hello and welcome to episode 81 of the Talk Nintendo podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Casey Gibson, and once again, joined live and in person, the one, the only, Mr. Jerry Jerkum.
Perry Burkum. Yeah, not Jerry Jerkum, but
I'm sorry, that one was, I had to get it
you
out
had
there.
To, yeah.
After you called me out on, you always fix it.
Yep, I'm sorry, Casey, you have to be in person with me again.
Oh, I know, it's terrible.
I know.
But it's not as bad as being near Jill, but... yep, making noise during the recordings and everything. What's new?
So, yeah, so we have been to PAX 2 days now.
Mm-hmm. Two full days.
Oh, my goodness. Two very, very full days. And so we were thinking we could kind of run through some stuff and what we played and what we did for NWR and also what we've played back at the old hotel.
Yep. Lots of games. So we figured a double dose this week.
Yeah. So, yeah, so we got up on, we went Thursday and Friday.
Thursday and Friday, yep.
Yeah, so we went there Thursday morning, and the lines were really good. And I guess
for us, sure were.
Well, no, even for other people, too. They definitely were doing a lot better, but because we got the media badges, so yep. We can go on.
The VIPs, if you will.
And then, so we did make it to our first...
Yeah, well, the media hour. I mean, that was the first one.
Oh, that's
one.
Right. Yeah,
yeah.
I forgot about that. Because it's not in here. Yeah. And we got a surprise interview there. We were playing... Casey was playing Sushi Striker. And the Nintendo rep that was... whatever you want to call him. That was showing us Sushi Striker. He's like, hey, I don't know if you guys are fans of, like, Killer 7 or No More Heroes or... But Suda51 is standing right behind you. And then, so, I'm running the camera... And I look back and I go, and I think I even pointed the camera back at him.
Yeah, mid Sushi Striker.
It might even be on our NWR TV.
Worth it.
Yeah, you know, like in the middle of the Sushi Striker off. Yeah. So they probably didn't use that, but
yeah, I remember Perry's like, "You better finish up," and
I was like, "Hurry up, because if he leaves, you know, like we."
And I was like, "Well, let me finish this level."
Yeah, I know. Casey loves a Sushi Striker.
Yeah, so those who don't know, the media hour is essentially we got to go in an hour before the actual show floor opened up for everyone, so it's just easier to get around. Yeah. Much easier to get around.
I mean, there's a lot of media. I mean, to be honest, yeah. I mean, like it's not. I mean, it's like.
But it was so much better than like. Oh yeah. So we were able to get into Nintendo without, you know, normally you got to wait, especially
when.
I think
I was the first one there to play Wolfenstein 2.
Yeah, I'm surprised actually that more people weren't running to that. But so we got in there and they had pretty much. I mean, we had an appointment with Nintendo that we'll talk about more in depth towards the end of this. But, yeah, lots of really good games. I guess the one game we didn't get to play in the appointment that we'll cover in a minute was Crash Bandicoot.
The Insane Trilogy
we got to play.
Yeah, and it looks really good, too. I mean, it looks good. It runs well. The only thing that sucked about when we played it is there was, like, a little input lag.
Not a little. That was a lot.
Well,
that was
I mean, it was like... Yeah, like you could almost, but I'm glad, like I thought, oh, this game is actually way harder than I thought. But it's
and
also,
it was just the input lag.
Yeah, and I think it could have just been because maybe the TV wasn't in game mode or like all the stuff going on.
Yeah, because normally a little bit, but that actually felt like you'd press A and it was like a good half a second to be like.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you were able to sort of recalibrate how it worked in your brain, you know, but like it was still sort of not great. They were demoing 2 and 3.
It was so funny because that demo rep was like, you know, she like could barely speak English. I mean, it was definitely her second language. It's a really cute girl, but she was like, to jump you press and she like, oh,
let
hold
me
on
check
a second.
My fact sheet.
And she grabbed like this little like palm sized paper out of her pocket. Yeah, yes, you jump with Y.
Yeah, like... at that point it's like we appreciate the help, but we got it from her, you know. Not that Crash Bandicoot is like, it's not like Dark Souls where it's like you're fingernailing through menus. It's like, well, it's just like sort of jump and spin and slide or whatever. But, it looks good. The input lag definitely, you know, stunk, but what
but
you
yeah,
do?
That's not going to be, yeah, that's not going to, but
it's Crash Bandicoot. Yeah. It, you know, it is what it is, but it looks good, like you said, and it ran well outside the lag. So, if that's your into that kind of thing.
And yeah. But, yeah, after that is when you played Sushi Striker, and then we had that surprise interview
with
Suda51.
Yeah, with Suda51,
so, which
is cool.
I think it should be published.
Yeah, if it's not on Nintendo World Report TV on soon. YouTube, it will be within the next day or two, I imagine.
About, we talked about Travis Strikes Again with the thing.
Yeah, that was an interesting interview. You know, obviously, Suda51 speaks Japanese. I'm sure he knows some English, you know, but maybe not enough to do interviews with, so he had his translator there, and yeah, it was
Casey's
to ask
there,
a
like...
question. Yeah, and then he's like looking at me right in the eyes, dead in the eyes, Suda51 just speaking Japanese, and I'm like, salient point, Suda. You know, it's like, yeah, I was like, I don't know what he's saying. You know, I felt like an idiot. But
and it's so funny because, like, I don't think have you played any of his games?
No.
The thing is with me,
but
is
the
like,
thing is,
I haven't either. And it's like, Casey, you have to take.
Yeah, I know.
Because I'm gonna like call him Suda 52 or something. Yeah. Like, I don't even know
Suda 15.
Yeah. We're here with Suda 15.
Oh my god. Just to see his face probably would have been priceless. But
oh man.
No, I do have the No More Heroes games. I need to play. I mean, now that I played a little bit of Travis Strikes Back, but again, we'll get into all the Nintendo goodness in a second. We're actually just going to go over our appointments for each day. The first day was a little more busy, I'd say.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think we had like 8 appointments maybe day 1 and like 6 or 5 or 6 day 2.
And here's the thing. It's funny because I know like you've probably heard other people talk on other podcasts about like how crazy like PAX or E3 can be, but seriously, it is legitimately like one of the most exhausting days carrying around stuff because you're walking all day all over.
Yeah,
the
you're
place.
On your feet.
And like we were capturing stuff, and it's weird because I thought that, you know, people would be used to capturing, but it was like, hey, can we capture? And they're like, yeah. And it's like,
so.
Oh, I guess, yeah. And it's like, well, what are we supposed to do? I mean, you know, so we did a lot because we captured gameplay, and then we also had, camera,
video audio.
Interviews, and then we also had this really sweet audio setup that Casey brought from his friend.
Old Justin Carney with the hookup.
Yeah, so this guy, Casey's friend, lent us this amazing audio recorder.
Yeah, it was perfect. And he listens, I believe. So a big shout out to him for that.
Oh, he does?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. I
don't know if it's
that.
Every single episode, but I know he does. I think he might let some lapse and then sort of catch up. Yeah. But yeah. Which is funny because he's not Nintendo or games really at all. So.
Oh, okay. Good.
I guess he just misses my voice.
Yep. But it's really cool because that thing can you can record like 5 tracks at a time and then it'll save them to an SD card.
Separate
all 5
files.
Tracks, separate files. So good. But yeah, so our first appointment was with Yacht Club, because Shovel Knight with the King of Cards.
Yes, yes.
And I think you played, right?
Yeah, that's the one I played. It plays different. He's got like a sort of like the Super Mario World spin jump. Like when you'd like sort of bounce into a wall, he would sort of spin off of it, and then you could sort of break blocks. Which felt good.
And then he also had, like, the Wario...
Yeah,
the Wario Dash.
Which you could do up in the air as well, which is, you know, felt nice. Obviously, it looks beautiful. I mean, all the, you know, Shovel Knights
look so
really
good.
Nice.
Yeah.
I didn't get to play the card game element of
no,
it.
No, no.
I believe Alex did? Was it Alex who said he got to play that?
I can't remember.
I'm not sure, but, yeah. I mean,
it's
more Shovel Knight, which is obviously a good thing, but... It's like, I'm excited for them to be done with this so we could see what's next.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not a slight to Shovel Knight. It's more so just, every DLC is essentially a different game, you know? Or it feels that way.
Yeah.
But it's just like, I don't know. I'm just ready to see what they've got in store next now that they obviously know how to do these games in a timely fashion. You know, I feel like they've come out in a pretty good clip. So it should be interesting.
Yeah. Then after that, we went right to Zoink, our friends at Zoink, to check out Flipping Death.
Yes, I played that one as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so Flipping Death, I mean, like, it's really cool because, I mean, it's set up just like Stick It to the Man, very similar. And also like the new Yoshi game that's coming out where you play
awesome.
A level. Very good. You play a level and then you, like, so you're on the dead side and it flips around and then you're on the living side. The dead side is more platform based, like platform, and then an action based, and so you actually have a scythe that you can throw and then teleport to,
mm-hmm.
And then when you flip it over and then you're on the living side, it's more puzzle and adventure based.
Yeah, like talking. Because essentially when you're on the dark side or death side, they're like little ghost things. They almost look like little fireflies in like packs flying around. Mm. And what you need to do is throw that Sith and sort of travel through them to gather them up. And then you see like the, you know, on the dead side, the humans or whatever, you know, the dead human now. And you sort of give those fireflies to the human. And that's how you jump to the living world in their head. And then you end up controlling them and being able to hear their inner thoughts and stuff. So it's definitely interesting. I played a little bit.
And funny. Very funny, too.
Yeah, definitely. And, like, yeah, a weird sense of humor. It's yeah. And, like you said, if you played Stick It to the Man, I feel like you sort of have an idea of what they're going for, you know?
Yeah.
But last year I played a little bit of the demo, and it was really confusing. And I don't know if it was maybe just a better... Well, that's what I'm saying. This year, the demo, they must have polished that demo up, because felt way, way, way better, because... Yeah. Like you said, I was just super confused last time, like, on what was going on all fronts. And then this one at least made it way more clear to be like, okay, you want to collect these things, this is how the Sith works, then when you jump into the living world. So it felt like a much better demo, and it's left me feeling much more positive about actually potentially picking it up when it comes out. Where, last year I was like, it seems cool, but, like, not my cup of tea, you know? But now it seems, you know, like it makes more sense, you know?
Could be.
Yeah. Cup of Joe?
Cup of Java.
It's Joe. Cup of Joseph?
Cup of Joseph. But, yeah, so after that, we got to meet up with Team Meat.
Yes.
About Super Meat Boy Forever, which looks really cool.
Yes.
Really cool idea with this game is it's a full-on sequel, but it's an auto runner.
A la Mario, but...
Yeah, kind of like Mario Run, but like way, the way that
and there's some more tools that you can use, like with the punching and like
it's a two button system. Yeah, is what he said. So there's like
jump
punching
and then like an attack.
Yeah,
I think. And you can attack like down like to go quicker, right?
Something like that. Yeah, there's like a.
I didn't actually get to play.
We didn't get to play. We had the guy. I remember his name was Kyle. He was one of the
Kyle and Neil.
He was
the level played as well.
He was the level designer. So we were taking, so instead of having us look like a bunch of gyms, he played it for our gameplay.
To save the mean YouTube comments, yeah.
Oh my goodness, which I'll get to.
Yeah.
But that game looks really cool. I'm actually really looking forward to that. I think it's a really fun idea because, I know, and then they mentioned that they wanted to make it more accessible, and they said that it is. The game is more accessible, like the creators, I think he said his wife. Has played through all the levels. And she's not, like, a huge video game player, like, really, so...
You know what? I feel like with those runners, it just takes one less thing to worry about, you know, where it's like when you're playing a normal one, you need to have time, like, all right, I need to run, get the right momentum going, where this is just always going, and it's more learning that spot to jump and, you know, where to use certain actions instead of... It just, I guess, you know, makes it a little more straightforward.
Right, and, like... Yeah, like, it is really annoying holding a D-pad, and you have to actually hold the run button, too. And you're basically just holding it the whole time.
Yeah, so it just it just makes it, like, more accessible.
Better.
They nailed it. They nailed what they were going for.
Yes.
This next one was a cool little game.
I think we split off here, right?
Yeah, this one, you did not come, yeah. And this was Sleep Tight, which I was talking to the developer, and he said they wanted to make a game around the idea of making, like, pillow fort. Like, you know, when you're a kid, you make pillow forts with blankets and stuff.
Oh, that's right. That's
so
right. Yes.
What it is you're in, like, your bedroom, and so during daytime, you can sort of upgrade and set up your base. There's, like, turrets, pillow fort walls, all sorts of stuff. You can upgrade your weapons and abilities, lots of customization. And at night, you just get waves of enemies that come. So it's a roguelike, so, you know, you just try and go as far as you can, and you just attack the enemies, and on every 10th night is the Blood Moon, which is a longer and more difficult night to get through. So it's a roguelike, so, you know, you get in there, you just keep and try and go as far as you can, but like I said, it's cool is they have a lot of customization. You know, when you first make your first puzzle wall, or you're at puzzle wall, fort wall, you can end up upgrading those to, you know, 2 and 3 tiers so they'd be able to be stronger. And what's cool is he says it's you know, it's fun to see the different approaches people take. So when I was doing it, I sort of set up shop in the middle, like right dead in the middle. Mm-hmm. And then when I saw some like other video later, like people like went into the corner and like, so then that would make more sense, right? You only have to make two walls and sort of, but like the turrets are cool because then they sort of help take out enemies. Yeah, it was a cute little game. I'm looking forward to seeing how that one sort of shapes up.
Totally. Yeah, so it's like kind of a full-on roguelike, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Cool.
And then you, at the same time, you were checking out Runner 3.
Yeah, at Choice Provisions. So yeah, this first time I played Runner 3 after Jason Cirillo on our podcast, after he hyped it up a lot, I went to go see it. And boy, did it stink. Yeah. No, just kidding. It was amazing. Absolutely amazing. There's two things in it that I'm very excited about. One, double jump.
Mm.
You unlock a double jump in this game. And so basically what that does is that makes it so you can cancel. It makes the game, you could probably say easier, but really just kind of less aggravating and gives a little more, makes it more like Super Meat Boy Forever, more accessible.
But I also imagine they probably were able to ramp up certain parts because of the double jump.
Yeah, so a big part of Runner 3 is the branching paths. So I think, I'm sure that there are like harder and then easier ways to go. But if you want to collect all the gold, you have to go back and play through it again and then get the harder paths. And exactly what you said, because it's like, well, now that you can do a double jump, and then the other thing is that you can do a slam down. So that's the other thing now. So, oh my goodness, we had one of the, I believe, the level designer playing it for us, and he played us through for the challenge. And
he was dying a whole bunch.
Yeah, he died like 20 times to get to the end of the level. And it was the first challenge level out of, like, he said 9, I think.
Yeah,
I
think so hard.
And yeah, I mean, there's going to be so much content. I mean, if you want 100% this, you have to be like insane. But like.
And there's going to be those speedrunners that are like, oh, I was able to get through every level in 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's like, what?
Yeah. But it, like you said, it has to collect the gold. You know, and then, like, there's crazy things. Like, I mean, we were interviewing, I believe his name was Mike, one of the co-founders of Choice Provisions. And, like, I was talking to him about the game, and I look over, and there's a bowling... I just look over, and it's, like, a first... Like, it's, like, right behind him in a bowling ball. Like, your character's a bowling ball now. Like, going straight on. It's like, what happened? What game am I playing now, you know? So, lots of crazy stuff in that game. Looks like it's really taking it to the next level again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as big of an evolution from Bit Trip to Bit...
Runner
to 2 to 3, yeah. So, and Charles Martinet is back.
Yes, sir.
And as narrator. And apparently there's some Woo-hoo! Easter eggs and some nods to Nintendo stuff in there that they were teasing me. So, Charles Martinet, man. Doesn't get better.
Amen. Yeah, next up we were at Team 17 and... Those two games were...
Yoku's Island Express.
Which you got to play for a little bit,
yeah,
right?
I played it in handheld mode. Oh my goodness, I am so excited for this game.
Now that's the pinball adventure-y, weird, strange game like that, right?
Yes. So, this is basically like another game that I think I'm still embargoed to talk about that we've played. But it takes a familiar gameplay, one that I'm not a huge fan of, which would be pinball. And it puts it in a different idea of an environment.
Yeah, not like a
platforming adventure. So what you do is you control this. He's like a bug or something. I don't know what he is. He kind of
you're the one playing.
Well, he reminds me of like what do you call those
roly-poly bug?
Those bugs that push the poop. You know what I'm talking about. You don't know what I'm talking about.
The common periwinkle.
What are those called? No. They're like
you've got me, man.
You don't know a dung beetle.
Oh,
dung
okay.
beetle. That's what I'm taking on. Yeah. Haven't you ever seen those? And they push like the pile of poop. Anyway, it looks like that. But
I don't know
of,
what you're YouTubing, but it's, I'm not. No.
Everyone who's listening to this knows what I'm talking about besides you. But, yeah. But so.
As Jill's shaking her head.
Instead of the poop, it's a big, it's a pinball. So you just press left and right so you don't jump. But then in the environment, there are, what would you call them?
The flippers.
The flippers, yeah. And they're just naturally in there. So L is like blue, and then R is orange. And then there's some of them that are both like blue and orange that you can use for both. But you're collecting stuff. There's characters. You're talking to them. You're doing like quests to go around and get stuff. It looks beautiful. It looks fantastic. I am like super excited about this game. Like after playing it, because when I thought about like this like a pinball adventure, I'm like, okay, well, like, do you have control over it, or is it just like you really are just? Is it like going from pinball table to pinball
table?
But it's like no, you actually do move left and right with the D-pad as the character.
Yeah, so and it, then yeah, you a nice get into situations.
So it's a perfect combo. Huge fan. Can't wait.
Like I said, pinball to me is always interesting. For like 5 minutes,
yeah,
like one run, and you're like, oh, okay, like that was cool, I guess, like I'm done with it. But like to add a little different, you know, add the pinball element to an adventure game or you know whatever seems much more interesting to me.
Yeah, and then the other game they had there was Raging Justice.
Yeah,
and this was like an old fashioned. The way the guy described it, the creator, he said it wasn't retro, but nostalgic. So. This is an old-fashioned brawl, beat 'em up.
Yeah, like a you know where you go essentially from. Oh, you're moving to the right. Then all of a sudden, you sort of lock into an area, and a bunch of enemies come out, and you just you know
so,
beat the crap out of them by jumping, kicking, punching.
Yeah,
and then you know there's weapons that you know some enemies come out with, like a taser gun or a knife. You can even pick up like a fire hydrant off the side of the road and throw it at people. It's got a weird art style.
Super weird. Like, I've never seen anything like it, really. Like,
it's,
Mimicking, like, Killer Instinct and, like, super, like, Donkey Kong Country, like, the photorealistic graphics.
In, like, a weird, I don't know. To be honest, I didn't love the art style for, because to me, I know what he wanted to bring, like, that,
90s.
Like you said, retro genre, you know, because it isn't, I don't think... prevalent now as it was, but wanted to, you know, not be that, you know, like a retro game. And to me, maybe those games are best stick to retro. I mean, because we were passing one game that was another, it was a beat-em-up, a classic beat-em-up, but it had like a cutesy art style with like pizza and stuff. I forget the name. And I was like, see, to me, that looks much more appealing of an art style for this kind of game. As far as the gameplay...
But I think, honestly, I think the audience for Raging Justice, I think they're older, a little older than
Maybe they would appreciate that more.
Yeah.
The gameplay itself was, you know, it was a beat-em-up, you know, go and do that kind of thing. What's interesting is some, you know, you can arrest people. Like, if you knock them down, you can arrest them up.
Oh, yeah,
and instead
that's
of, you know, killing them, per se. And then they leave back, like, some health to regain. And then there were some objectives, like... This is a wanted person. Arrest him, you know, and you would
get
extra stuff.
That's what they called it, right?
I really like that element of, you know, a nice wrinkle in there. But, yeah, like I said, art style, not really my...
I'd always be bad cop.
Yeah.
Always.
Sounds right.
yeah. But then after that...
Ooh, this is a goodie.
Yes. We went to Eurovideo that was showing their game Fox in Forest. Now, real quick, I need to give a shout out to this booth because they were absolutely amazing.
Oh, they were prepared. They were prepared.
They were. They had pretzels. They had pop. Sitting there for us. They were the nicest people.
Yeah, the PR rep, and I'm blanking on his name right now because I'm so bad at names. But
yeah.
He was a super nice dude. He was like. Anything you need, this, that, and the other thing. They said they had pretzels, they had sodas, they had...
I believe it was Christopher Sousa.
Okay, yeah. And then Rupert, the developer, I believe the director of the game, creative director, right?
Yep, yeah, creative director. He's
super nice dude, and this game looks absolutely wonderful.
Yeah,
you got to play it.
Yeah,
so
what it is it's really a platformer. It is trying to mimic... completely a Super Nintendo platformer, and they nailed it, and it is gorgeous. I mean, but I could see this seriously being a Super Nintendo game.
Yeah,
he was
when we were talking, and there's an interview. There's a bunch of interviews that will be going up. This one I know for sure is up already.
Yeah,
with him, and he stressed the point that he really loved the Super Nintendo, and like that was always sort of his dream to make like a Super Nintendo, and or not. A Super Nintendo game.
Yeah.
I want to make a Super Nintendo. You're about 25 years too late.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it looks wonderful, and it's got a really cool mechanic.
Yeah, so it's a platformer, and you play as a fox, and you can, like, throw stuff. There's a lot of customization for, like, picking, like, different throwing and, like, splitting the arrows and stuff like that. But one of the main hooks of the game is you can change seasons. And so in the demo, I had him playing like through like a springy, summery forest. But then like you get to a lake and you can't cross it. You know, there's fish jumping out and stuff. And
yeah, it's too long.
Yeah, but then you change the season to winter and it freezes. So then you can walk across the ice and stuff like
safely
that.
Safely to the other side.
And one of my favorite things was, because like there was one part where this, you know, enemy fish was kept jumping out of it, you know, mm-hmm. and going in and out. I'm like, I wonder if I change it while the fish jumps out, what will like if he'll smack the ice and die.
Mm-hmm.
So he jumped up and I froze it and he went boom and he smacked it and died. And it was just perfect because it's like hoping, you know. So you can, and I think, and I'm assuming you're going to unlock other, maybe those are the only two, because like I don't know.
Well, the switching of the
switching season. Of the seasons, probably just winter to summer.
No. I definitely saw other ones. I believe.
Okay, I'm just trying to think of what kind of.
I don't know in the demo. Game. I think I remember it was like it was windy in one of the seasons, whether it was a spring
okay,
or a fall.
Okay, gotcha.
And then you sort of switch, gotcha. And then it's like, oh, it's not windy anymore, so the gotcha. Gears on the windmill aren't moving, and then you could climb on the platform that way. Okay. So yeah, I think there's going to be probably quite a bit of playing around with that.
Yeah.
And I also know with he was talking about the different colored attack, like your different like weapons, like one's green, and
yeah,
if you
like
hit certain
tons
things
of customization,
that
yeah.
opens up a different area, you know, that you know you wouldn't be able to get to without attacking with that item, you know.
Yeah.
And I believe he said you get those from the bosses you beat, similar to like
Mega Man
game,
yes.
because again, he really loves the Super Nintendo.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So he took some inspiration from, you know, games he really liked there. For me, this is one, I mean, aside from like Nintendo stuff, which are obviously we're going to be excited about, this is one of two games that I would say were like my favorite, that I'm really looking forward to the most.
Absolutely. I mean,
and I think everyone should, you know, at least Google it or hit up YouTube and just Nintendo World Report TV.com or not,
yeah.
not
NWR, yeah. NWR TV.
But we've got gameplay video up there too. And just to see what it looks like, it really looks fantastic.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, this next one I did not get to check out because Chiboy was hungry and he had to get some food in him. But you went over
That's
and
right.
checked out Projection, which looks like a really, really cool game.
Yeah, so this is from Shadowplay Studios, and it's actually being published by Blowfish Studios, which did, I believe they're the ones that did that Morphite game, which is that like Metroid Prime-looking No Man's Sky. Remember that?
Oh, yeah,
FPS
yeah, yeah.
That I completely forgot that I'm really interested in. I gotta check that out.
You know, it's funny when you said that. Whatever happened to Morphe's Law? Where's that game at?
Oh, yeah.
I would have thought that'd be out by now.
I think I heard something about that, but I can't remember exactly. There's something about that. But yes, Projection. So this is, at first glance, it's like a
Limbo
style, you know, platformer. But there's a really cool hook to the game. The game, there's almost all the gameplay, it's kind of twin stick, because like you move with the left stick and you can jump. But then the right stick controls this little orb of light. And the whole game is played by moving the light around, casting shadows onto the environment and onto objects and from objects. And then the whole thing is your paper dolls. So you can jump. And so they're so light that they can literally
land on the shadow.
They can jump on the shadow. So you make a slope with the shadow, you know, and so you can understand. And then you can actually get to points where you can actually move physical things by doing
mm-hmm.
that. So, like you know, like there's a barrel up on the shelf, and you bring it down, and then to get across a gap and stuff like that. So, really cool. And the developers were super nice, super cool.
That was the one you said,
from Australia.
Like they were surprised how many people were checking that game out, right? Didn't you say
yeah.
that was at booth, right?
Maybe
I thought you said like they were surprised at how many people were stopping by and checking it out.
Oh sure, I mean yeah, and.
But that's good because
you
said, like, it is a really interesting mechanic.
And it had like won like a lot of like Game of the Show awards there too. So I think, you know, it was actually a pretty big booth actually. But yeah, I did play the Switch version and it ran great. And so
yeah, I think people really love Limbo. So I think they're always like, ooh, that sort of reminds me of Limbo. I'm willing to look at that and check that out. You know?
Yeah, and also, my wife, Jill, she loved the game. Like, she definitely... She while I was filming and doing the interview, she was saying, like, afterwards, she was like, man, I just wanted to, like, say, like, do this. What I should have done... Well, she was manning the camera, so she couldn't have done it. But I should have just had her play, and then she could have done stuff as I talked. But,
and then anyway, we would have actually maybe gotten some decent video recordings.
Oh, man, I know. Well, yeah, and you know what? There was some... I think there was some Joy-Con...
Interference
issues, too. With
the Johns. The Johns are coming out.
No. No, the Jims are coming out.
The Jims.
No, I'm serious. Like, there really was on the right stick. Like, it would, like, hold... It would, like, go... It was hard to control. And, and it felt like... It felt like, you know, I'd push it right, and it would keep going right and wouldn't stop and stuff. So
there's so much wireless crap going on there.
It looks really cool, very creative, very unique. It's like, that's why I think I told him, like, it's crazy that, like, we're still finding unique hooks in 2D platformers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So, someone's always finding a way to spice it up a little bit.
And the game is gorgeous, and we do have gameplay up on NWR TV, so you should go check that out. But like I said, you'll see me being a gym a lot on that, but... That's because I'm talking and playing, and the thing had...
The gyms, here come the gyms!
Absolutely.
Then we went over to Tiny Build, and they had a whole bunch of games there, obviously. They're sort of, I'd say they're a big publisher of indie games at this point. Developing...
Cluster Truck.
Yeah, which...
Which we'll talk about.
But the two games they had for us, which I guess first was Garage, which was shown off on that Nindy...
Alex Kalafi was with us at this appointment, and he got to play that. So actually, I didn't get to play.
Yeah, neither of us.
Kind of like manning the camera and talking with the rep there,
Carrie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was super, super nice and helpful.
Yeah, it top down twin stick shooter, right? Sort of like a zombie. It was very dark.
It's like, I mean, like from what I can see, I mean, a lot of it was bullet, like
hell,
like. No, the opposite. Like, not having enough bullets. Mm-hmm. You know, what do you call it? Management. Like, bullet management, you know? And apparently...
Resource management.
They made the demo really easy by giving you a lot, so apparently it's harder. But the thing is like, and I remember even asking, I don't even remember the structure. I think it's a level structure game. It's not like a roguelike, I don't think, but...
Yeah.
But it's like a Resident Evil take on, like, it kind of looks like a 10-ton shooter.
Yeah, I was going to say, if someone told you this was a 10 tons game, you'd be like, no.
Like, I would think, okay, this is like a unique, I mean, yeah, I could...
Like a different twist on it.
But it does look cool. Like, I am interested.
Then,
this is
my favorite thing of all time. So it was Hello Neighbor, right? Is what
it's
called.
Yes.
And,
okay, so, and you don't know anything either. So,
no.
I know nothing about this game. Apparently, it's a big deal. Apparently, streamers and everything is crazy. And after
we learned about it made sense.
Which we learned about it after we had recorded gameplay.
Oh, wow, man.
Well, I think, yeah. So, so this is not a game that demos well with no audio.
Yeah, no audio on a tiny TV with zero instruction on what to do.
And we had a crank our neck up and and stuff.
And like, normally the reps are really good at, like, explaining what's going on, but, like, I forgot if she was talking to Alex or if she was a little
Alex
distracted or something. And it was like...
And so... I didn't want to put... They posted the footage, and I look and, like, yeah, sure enough, there's, like, comments like, I can't watch this because the guy is so bad at playing it. So I just need to say that I literally know absolutely nothing about it. So...
You know me. I love giving Perry the business.
Yeah.
But I'll give him a pass on this one. It really... So essentially,
we didn't know what to do.
Yeah, so we found out is you're trying to get into your neighbor's house because he's doing some weird things, and I guess it's very very audio sensitive.
Very audio based.
Where, you know, you can sort of break a window in the back and you'll be able to hear him sort of go over there, and then you can sort of sneak in the house elsewhere. Then eventually you get into the basement, and she said it's not like, oh, you're in a basement. It's sort of just like, oh, you're down in the basement, but it's like much bigger than what a basement would be, you know, and you're all sorts of weird things. But yeah, having
So after like 10 minutes, then...
You got into the house.
It's like, oh, okay.
He knew how to break a window. Yeah, it
got
a little
honestly,
more...
honestly, it's super hard to play because there was no volume. I couldn't hear anything. So that's literally half the game. But it does look cool. Like, it does remind me... We were talking about... It's very Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
In the sense of you play with physics, it's very open, and it's very interesting because you know you can use different, you can pick up different objects and like throw them to get the guy to look at it, and then you know try to sneak in through the window, through the basement, you know, all that kind of stuff. I am interested, but I do need to say.
Oh,
are you going to move on?
No. It was about the frame rate.
Yeah, I was going to say. So, okay. Actually, I don't know if you remember Snake Pass when it came out. Well, you reviewed it. Do you remember that look? How it, like Vaseline, like mm-hmm. smeared, like weird looking? And this that's how this game looked.
Yeah,
and it ran okay on
in handheld, it ran well.
It ran okay, but
not so well on TV.
On docked, yeah. It was kind of choppy and
I'd say pretty darn choppy.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You know, obviously it's not out yet, so maybe it's something to do with the demo.
Oh,
but
yeah, it could
be. You know, if you are interested in this game, I'd definitely wait to see how that sort of pans out because.
Yeah. And I
definitely choppy.
And if you know how to play the game, I don't recommend checking out our footage on NWR TV.
The best thing is
you can see how it runs.
There's only about 1,400 people who saw that video
already. So.
Yeah. And 1,000 downvotes. No,
yeah, seriously. I don't blame. I mean, yeah, it's just what it is.
You know what? It's like if they want to see a masterful gameplay, it's like you could look that up. You're just seeing to see how choppy it might be or how it runs on the Switch, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, in all fairness, I will give Perry a pass.
So everyone, listen. If Casey's giving me a pass, you know that it's legit.
Yeah, that's when. Like I said, I like to twist that knife any chance I get. I won't do it this time though.
But yeah, so our last appointment that day was with an unconfirmed Switch game. But we just wanted it because it was Guacamelee 2.
Yeah, the devs were like, "This is not coming to the Switch."
Yeah,
and we're like, "Yes,
right." Yeah.
Which obviously they've brought, you know, like Severed over and
stuff.
Severed, so
Guacamelee.
So it's
Guacamelee
like,
should be coming out on Switch.
Yeah. So I'd imagine Guacamelee 2, maybe not day and date with the others, but
yeah,
I'm pretty sure. It's
yeah,
gonna
but they didn't. They said there's no confirmation at all of the sorts. So, but we checked it out. Looks great. I honestly, it looks like a very much. It was a very much enhanced version of the first, from what I saw.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing too crazy. I think you can have up to 4 people.
Play
co-op. And then apparently the chicken mode was very much enhanced.
Yeah, I know Justin Nation was saying that he was laughing. He's like, the chicken mode, man. He was like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
I know he really, really liked it.
Yeah.
I didn't get a play. You played, right?
I did play. I played it on it was either PS, I think it was PS4. Or no, it was because we had some issues with the thing.
Yeah, it was funny because it was sort of a cramped booth. So how I was set up. With the camera was I couldn't really hear what Neil was saying at all with the interview.
You can't hear anything.
Your big
camera.
Old dome was in front of the TV, so I was just sitting there with the camera like,
and then like you hear like Casey, and we're looking at you, and you're like, I can't hear anything.
Yeah. And the best thing is I could talk like the because the camera picks up audio, but we weren't using it. You know,
so it's so funny if you listen
Perry,
to that.
Perry.
Hey guys, if you watch any of the interviews, you have to understand there is so much work that went into those interviews because it's crazy. You think because all that, oh man, a lot of work.
Yeah, but it worked well.
Yeah, it did.
It all
awesome.
Worked pretty well.
Yeah, good. Congrats, like our home team, like Jared and John Reardon are doing a bang up job at home. So.
And that was the end of day one.
Yeah, so that was day one. So, yeah. I mean, like...
So that was a bunch of games right there.
Yes, lots of them. So
now, that was our busier day. For the most... Like, definitely with interviews and stuff.
I'd say it was our least exhaustive day. I mean, our most exhaustive day.
I think, yeah.
You know, I feel like our other days were pretty... It's just like, we got to do the Nintendo appointment.
Which was,
on Friday. Which was, literally, like, kicking it in. So why don't we take a quick break and then we'll come back with day two.
All right.
Friday for us.
This was the, I mean, don't get me wrong, that first day was good, but this is the one I think people are going to really want to hear about.
Yeah.
Because we got some Nintendo goodness to talk about.
We do.
Before we get to that, This was a... It seemed like the beginning of our days were split.
Yeah.
This time we each had...
And it killed me.
Yeah. It was the worst 40 minutes of my life. But that's actually a lie, because it was one of my favorite games. But before we get to that, you went over and checked out the Inti Creates booth,
right?
I did.
So, you know, I don't really know too much about Inti Creates. I mean, like, the actual company. But they are based out of Japan. Completely. That's what I thought, but the guy there was American. And anyway, they have really, really nice people. I got an amazingly sweet Blaster Master Zero shirt. He showed me that Dragon Marked for Death. I think is that what it's called?
I believe so, yeah.
I think so, yeah. I always forget the last. Yeah. So this is the game that they showed off at the Nindy. It was some Nindy press event.
Dragon
you
Marked
know,
for Death, yeah.
Yeah. And... I didn't know. I thought this game was kind of looked weird. Like, the logo and everything, like, the art around it, like, looked, like, really weird and not like anything else that Inti Creates has done.
It looks sort of Super Street Fighter-ish, the logo.
Yeah, like, and to be honest, I don't like the art. I think it looks kind of just not my style. Not my cup of tea, right? Mm-hmm. But playing the actual game, it's actually a really nice platformer beat-em-up kind of. I would say kind of like that. It's a 2D side. It's a 2D platformer. In your heavy emphasis on action and like jumping and slicing and really great big pixel art. So a big part of this game is multiplayer. It's four play. You can play it to four players. Each player can play with a different player that has completely different mechanics. Which is really cool. I think that's always a good...
Do you know how many... Were there four characters?
See, I only played it... I only played it with one character. And the demo was like... It's like infamously short. Everyone around...
Pat, oh, really?
I mean, like when I was talking... Yeah. Very short demo. I think we have the footage up on NWR TV right now. Check it out because it's actually like... It was really fun. And I think that it'd be fun with multiplayer. I mean, like... It was definitely a lot better than what I was expecting. But the really killer, cool, awesome feature that totally has me like 100% on board is that the multiplayer is online.
Ooh-wee!
That is like a game changer. I mean, it's like if we can play platformers online together, especially like a cool indie game, I'm totally on board. Especially, you know, so it's going to be really cool. I'm excited about it. Check out the gameplay on NWR TV. And
yes,
then
sir.
You were over... At what are they called? Do you remember their name? I forgot their actual.
I'm blanking on the.
Anyway, they're a Canadian developer for The Messenger.
Yes, and now many people are going to know about this game now because it was again on that Nindy Direct just a few weeks ago, and this is the game that goes from 8-bit to 16-bit, right?
Yes.
So it's it looks amazing. You know, you sort of essentially. You start off, you're like a ninja, and then like some bad stuff goes down, and it's like, you're the messenger. Here, you need to get this scroll to this area. And you go through, and it sort of introduces, you know, some new stuff along the way as far as your abilities. He had like the cheat mode enabled.
Yeah, he had,
so
like,
he
totally
was able
maxed out.
To just be able to, like, literally teleport to any section of the game with any power-ups and all that stuff. So... You know, we sort of bounced around. I'm not going to spoil anything too much because he spoiled City to me. I mean, which I don't mind.
Right.
It still felt really good to play. So, you know, I didn't feel bad. But essentially, you're going through and it's side-scrolling, you know, point A to point B. And then essentially, you get to a point where then all of a sudden now you're into this 16-bit era, right? And what happens is, like... You get to a point in the game where time has passed, and he was saying that's sort of how, it, like, oh, years passed, and then that's why the graphics are improved, you know what I mean? Because time has passed in that game. And you're going to revisit some old areas, and new things are going to be active, and things are going to be different. But a lot of the abilities are super fun. You get that, like, squirrel suit, so when you jump, you sort of float down, you know? And then you can do, like, down attacks with the sword. But yeah, I mean, just looks
it is
beautiful.
So cool.
It's super fun and satisfying to play. I believe he said, I forgot if it was May or summer, so it's not too far off.
No. I mean, this game is dripping with style, and I mean everything, the logo, all the cool art. The creative director that you were talking to,
super friendly.
He said he'd been planning this since he was 8 years old.
Yeah, because that's what I asked him when. Essentially, I went and played the demo when Perry wasn't there, and then we came back and got an interview, which will also again be up. I know he said it a million times. It'll be up on YouTube. But yeah, I was like, so, you know, did you plan initially, like, I want to have it jump different, you know, like graphical upgrade, you know, or was that something that sort of came along the way? And yeah, he was like, you know what, I honestly can't really even answer that, because he's like, this is something I've wanted to do for 20 years, you know, so it's like, where can you really pinpoint exactly when that decision was made? But it's just awesome. It really, as I said before with Fox and Forests, how that was really one of my two games that stood out to me. This is the other one. I think, again, I'm glad it was on the spotlight there, because I think that will just give it a lot more exposure now that people are going to be interested in checking it out. Again, we've got gameplay up there. It's mine, so it's actually pretty good. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I got
lucky because I had like a practice run to sort of get it. Like, that's true,
we came back to the appointment after.
Yeah, it's like I got it down, and I was like, oh, okay, like I know how to play this.
Good.
So
that's good, because honestly, like I do feel bad, like for people watching gameplay videos, like you know, you don't want to watch someone who stinks. Like that's one of the most. Like I remember, I remember watching this one video of Ocarina 3D when it came out in 3DS, and this guy made it to the first boss. And he didn't know what to do.
You have
to look up, you know?
He got gymmed.
He's like, I don't know what to do. It's like, dude, you don't know what to do on Ocarina of Time.
What are you? Some sort of looser?
I felt bad to the guy because it's like, he probably has played it and loves it, but it's just like, when you're doing it,
also, people are watching, and you're in an expo hall, and it's like, it's just loud, and sometimes it's a little disorienting, especially if you're trying to sort of listen to the interview while it's happening. But it's also like, a 2D side-scroller is a little bit more, you know, familiar with other games you played, where like Hello Neighbor was really like, what am I doing, you know? So
yeah,
so but no, exactly. That absolutely, check out that game. You'd be doing a disservice to yourself if you didn't.
Absolutely. I mean, it's definitely gonna be one of those amazing games to check out. We should probably cut some of that.
That's for you, Martino.
Yeah. So the next appointment we had, Martino, I hope you're laying in bed right now.
Yeah. You're a sick man, Perry.
He told us that that's when he listens to us. Anyway, our next appointment was with Fabrez, but mostly with Andhorn Games, which Spirit Sphere DX. That's the game we were checking out here. Which, yes, friends of the show, Slime Sound developers, Fabrez, are publishing Spirit Sphere DX on Switch. I think they said May or June. Oh, no, June 4th, my birthday.
Yep.
No, they haven't confirmed that. But
yeah, it was just summer, I believe. I think
they said
June.
May, June.
Yeah.
They said May, June. So,
I think Martino said June.
Yeah. So this game is so cool.
Zelda Tennis.
Yeah, it's like Game Boy Color Zelda Tennis.
Yeah, or Link to the Past kind
of. Or like almost like air hockey kind of too.
Because to me, the first vibes I got were definitely like the like in Link to the Past, you know, where he spits the magic ball out at you and you need to hit it back at him. Like that's the first thing when I saw this game, I was like, oh, okay. And it's super fun. And there are so many different characters, and they all play drastically different. So, you know, you have your more standard, like, Lynn, right, is the main, not main character, but, like, your sort of,
The standard, the Mario.
The poster.
The Mario.
The poster character, if you will. Yeah.
So, every character is completely different. You have Lynn, which is the normal, but even
Jimmy the Dwarf.
Yeah, you have Jimmy the Dwarf, which
that's one of my favorite characters. He has an axe, and when you hold the button down, you do like a twirl, like a whirlwind twirl.
Yeah.
And you can sort of slide around, and that's nice because, as we said with air hockey, it's essentially air hockey. There's a sphere in the middle, and you just got to hit it back and try and score on the other person.
Right. And, like, there's seriously, like, tons of other things that, like, characters that are complete. Like one of them, you have like two animal companions, and like so basically you have like a train like moving around, like kind of like on Pokemon when you have a Pokemon following you, you know, mm-hmm. or Earthbound. And so, and then the cool thing is that really makes it wide so that you can, because if they touch them, they'll bounce off and go back. So you have that, but then you can actually take them and throw the animals to like to
get, a last you know. Ditch effort, yeah. like if you're on the other side.
Yeah, yeah.
I liked Fennel, which actually was, I guess, sort of a cross promotion thing with another indie. I forget the game, but it's like almost in like a little Mario Kart esque thing. So you have that sort of quick dash. Very, you know, to get from one side to the other, which is nice. But nice. What's cool is that there are a bunch of different levels, and now it's not just a standard, like, oh, it's a goal. There are some, like, the, I guess, it, I forget the exact name, like a volcano-ish level where that the fire was coming up on the goal. So, uh-huh. like, it would be random, and on certain parts,
yeah.
the goal was blocked by...
I love that
like
idea.
Like a flame funnel where... Like,
yeah.
Nor, like, but... You know, 2 minutes later, that might not be there, and that would be a goal.
Literally, where, 10 seconds later. I mean, yeah. yeah, like I mean, so think of the pillars that you would need to press a button down to put the pillars down so you could walk through an area in Zelda. Those would be up, yeah, and just I mean, tons of stuff. And then like, there's different shapes of
yeah, the different spheres, areas. Like the potato.
Well, yeah, I was gonna say even the areas before the spheres. Oh, yeah, the yeah. areas are even like there's corners and like different types of shapes. Then yeah, different spirit spheres. The actual tennis ball that you're shooting around,
like the one that splits into two, and then it's just
oh yeah, going I love that. Like there's one where yeah, it's like it'll start splitting into two, and literally the first one to hit into the other person's goal
mm-hmm.
will is the point. So
yeah, and as so there are two player mode, which is obviously 1v1. There's a three-player mode, which is cool, where it's two people play the one person who is like one of the boss levels.
Yes.
Like as Fabian said, it's like the master hand, you know? Yeah. Like who doesn't want to play with master hand?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And like super strong and powerful and have all these abilities. But I was playing that character and I think I still lost, right? I think I might have lost that one. So it's not like an auto win for the person who has the big bad
sure?
character.
I think you did win.
Oh, wait, that's right.
I think you might.
I don't think I lost a game.
I don't think you lose games, to be honest. Yeah. Yeah,
but yeah, and then of course the four-player mode is really fun because then it's 2-on-2. But I know when I first saw this game, I was a little worried. Like, is there going to be enough? Because for me, you know, I don't have too many people to play games.
Where's
with.
The first-player RPG mode?
Yeah, yeah. Where's the 30-hour campaign?
What is this? 2015 yeah. Camelot?
That's funny. But yeah, there are actually quite a few. Different single-player modes with, like, a campaign, which is sort of like that Smash where you play a couple random, like, opponents on different levels with different spheres, I believe.
Yeah.
And then you get up to that boss, and, you know, it's just... So you have a single-player mode, but there's also squash mode.
Yeah, there's different... There's literally different, like, sports modes.
So that's, you know... Again, I haven't... I guess I played squash, like, once in college, maybe. But I thought it was racquetball. I don't know. Potato, patata. But essentially where it's like... I hit the sphere against the wall, and then it bounces back, and then the other person has to hit the sphere back against the same wall, and it's sort of just rallying to see who, you know, goes first. But also, like, a target mode and other just single-player modes that, you know, like I said, for me, I was a little worried because it is local only, at least for now. I don't know if, you know, any plans, but... Local, so that's was my
there
concern.
Is
but
a legitimate, like, single-player mode.
Yeah, so that's what I'm excited about because it is
cool.
really fun. And then lastly, there's the what hand-to-hand mode is what we're calling it,
something
right?
that I cannot believe
more games
haven't done, but it's perfect, and it's where you sit, and I'm sure everyone's kind of seen this, hopefully, if
you followed
us. You sit
looking eye-to-eye in the other person's
lips
face.
Lips to lips.
Yeah.
Boo! If it was me and Casey, it was lips to lips.
Yeah.
No, actually, me and
there
Justin,
was no switch in the room.
Me and Justin Nation, lips to lips.
Yeah, you're sick.
Actually, yeah, we got to meet Justin Nation.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Great, who does the Nimby
Spotlight. The sweetest man alive.
Yep, and it was really fun to see him. And hopefully we'll have him on the show to talk about all the stuff.
Oh, you should, before we wrap up, Perry was up a solid 3-0 in a best
first,
of, first to five. And you know... Perry's feeling good.
I'm feeling good. Justin's like,
Justin's
I think
like,
you got this one. And what does Casey say?
I'm like, don't even worry, Justin. This is all over but the crying because Perry is the ultimate choke artist. And sure enough, the next 5 points went to Justin Nation. It was beautiful.
It really was. And, you know, I had, like, I'm like, this is my run. Justin was playing with this really hard character to play with first. And I got Jimmy, and I'm going to get this. Yeah, I'm like, I'm going to get this right in the, you know, it's like, nope. I didn't win one. I didn't win one match of Spirit Sphere.
I should have bet someone. I'm like, what are the odds for him to come back without Perry scoring? Like, 2-1. Who's taking it? Come on. Who's taking it?
Don't take any odds for me, please.
But, again, on YouTube, we've got direct footage, which includes a bunch of the different modes, but we also have the hand-to-hand stuff.
Yeah.
Again, if it's not up now, it will be up within the next few days. I know they're working on it back at home. But, yeah, good stuff. Now, moving along, we went over to CoatSync, which they did Sue and Clusterpuck 99, right?
Yep.
And then we checked out Clusterpuck with 6 and 8 people, and it was pretty darn fun. I'm not sure how much, again, that's local multiplayer also, so I don't know how much mileage you will get out of the game if you don't have a robust amount of friends to play with. Where Spirit Sphere, I feel like one-on-one was still really enjoyable. I don't know. You've played Clusterpuck one-on-one,
right? I played it with Jill. We played like 2v2 computer.
Mm.
Highly do not recommend that. It is not. This needs to be played. If you're going to enjoy this game.
At least by 4.
And it is enjoyable. Definitely.
Yeah, we were having fun on the show. Fun.
You need to play with like at least like 6 people, I would say.
Mm.
Two people, 2v2 might be
probably
good.
On certain maps.
Maybe.
And there is a level creator.
Yes, and
I'm
going to dive into that too.
So you might have like.
You might be able to make like small maps.
Yeah, you
might
be able
really
to make
fun.
A cool map for specifically for 2-on-2.
One thing's for sure, they gave us a code before actually PAX and stuff. And Jack, the PR rep there, really cool guy. I really appreciate him. He showed us around. He actually told us that besides 3, he has every
Just
single...
Just Dance 18, Just Dance 17, and the latest Skylanders.
Yeah.
And those are all dirt cheap.
He doesn't have the Wii U games. He has the full
What we should do is we should probably
Wii
buy
U.
those and mail it to it. But here you go, man. Finish it.
Yeah, finish it off.
But what I think was the coolest game we checked out there, which is not confirmed for Switch.
Yeah.
I know there was interest
all,
in bringing
yeah.
it to Switch, but...
They want to bring it, but they haven't. They literally just
And
haven't.
It's also a 2019 game, so it's a little far off. It's called Fogs.
Yes.
P-H-U-G-S, right?
Oh,
O-G-S,
yeah.
excuse me.
It's Physics Dogs.
And it's bananas.
It's hilarious. So it's like basically like Cat Dog, right? It's like
Dog meets Snake Pass.
Yeah. It's like really, because like, it's like a cat dog, but instead of a cat on one side, it's just two dogs on one side. And... There's no arms or legs, so it's like a really creepy worm version of it's like, imagine a snake with two heads of dogs on the end. But they're really
it's
cute.
It's super cute.
They're really cute, though.
So it's a co-op game, and you each take control of one of the dog heads, and it's super simple. Just move around in the R trigger, right? I think that was to grab on.
Yeah.
And they're just cute little puzzles. So it's, you know, in the beginning, it's like, oh, you just need to grab this plant and bring it to, like, this big worm head. He'll eat it, and then you go, you know, you jump in his mouth, actually, and he spits you out at the next little puzzle. But they're pretty cute little puzzles. Like, one of them was there's a couple pegs on a wall where one dog would bite it, the other one would sort of swoop around to grab the other one, and you'd sort of link your way to the other side. And then even ideas with, like, the water hose where one dog would bite onto, like, where water was coming out of. And you would just
perverted.
Be a hose. Yeah, and the other dog would be spitting out water.
Yeah.
And you'd put it on a seed.
And then that seed would grow into a flower that would blossom and then, like, into, like, a platform.
Yeah, and then you'd jump off it. Yeah.
So, honestly, like, if I could put it anyway, I would say it's a cooperative, like, sticking together version of Super Mario 3D Land. Versus Snake, like mixed with Snake Pass. That's what I would say it's like.
And it really
Fast-paced
does
Snake Pass.
It really does feel like it would be just like right at home on the Switch.
And
I
not,
think it
yeah.
will be. I think.
Oh yeah.
I think maybe it's still so far away. Like to, I don't think it's a big deal. It's not confirmed
right.
for the Switch. You know, or anything.
Right.
I think
it's coming to Switch.
I would.
It will. It should.
I put my money.
It'd be a
on
shame
it.
If it didn't. Yeah. But I just want to say, but like in relative to Snake Pass, it's not like.
Yeah,
it's way easier to control. Like, it's like, it's a very easy game.
Just some of the puzzles, sort of, like, with the,
yeah.
like, hanging on,
yeah,
sort of
exactly.
giving that Snake Pass feel.
Exactly.
Then, after that, where did we go? We went over to Yonder.
Yes.
Which, you got to play this game, Yonder, the Cloud Catcher Chronicles.
I believe, yes. Now, okay, walking up to the booth, see these guys, I see these two TVs, you know, I'm like, okay, they must not have the Switch versions out, because this game looks amazing. Like,
yeah.
Like, I mean, like kind of like Wind Waker, but with kind of more, like, not as cel-shaded, but the lighting, very, very nice lighting, very nice frame rate. And so anyway, so we go up to the game, and yeah, and it's Switch. It sure is. They had all of them.
It sure is.
Yeah, all of them were Switch.
Yeah, every single demo they had there.
Yeah, and really fun, cool-looking game. Basically, it's like Wind Waker, but with no combat.
Yeah.
So and also like
mixed it's a loving
in,
game.
Well, hold on, but also mixed in with a lot. There's like a what do you call it? Like not looting, but like when you pick up like Breath of the Wild, like when you pick up stuff
like crafting. Yeah, crafting and material gathering
missions on the big. You know, so you're on the ship and then you get to this island and it's gorgeous.
It had a very Breath of the Wild feel when you ran
totally
out
did.
And it like I didn't say it during the interview, but. That looks just like the Breath of the Wild intro.
I know, because he's like, a lot of people like to compare us to Zelda, but we're not really, and it's like...
But it looks really nice. I like that idea that there isn't necessarily combat. I know the PR rep, Nick, right, was his name, Nick Clarkson?
Yes.
And he was like, you know, you get in there, there's a bunch of different guilds, so, and the it has a rich economy, which is cool. So, you know, one region has the tailoring guild, so you can go there, you get patterns, you can craft stuff. Now another region, you know, wants those things, so you can bring those over and you make money that way, and it seems really interesting. And he's like, obviously there's sort of like your main quest line, but he's like, once you beat the game, you haven't really beat the game because there's just so many other side quests and things to do that keep sort of bringing
like
you back.
Fishing and stuff.
And that,
like
that was May, right? Isn't that May?
I don't know.
Am I making that
remember.
Up?
I can't remember. All
I remember it was way sooner than I had anticipated.
All I know is this was also going... These guys, I don't exactly know how, but they were... It was Merge Games.
Yep.
And they also do short-run publishing, like Limited Run or that Super Rare Games. And so it was really cool that this game is actually coming physical. And they were taking pre-orders there. They also do like special editions of the. They have like they
did a like a limited run, sort of like limited runs,
it's
but
like that.
Where it was it had like a. I know the PS4 Yonder had like a little art book, a little like coin from within the game, and some other cool things. But yeah, it looks really really nice.
Yeah, totally. We should mention we both picked up a version of Darkest
the
Dungeon.
The Darkest Dungeon. Yeah, we got hosed, but that's okay because we like physical games. But yeah, definitely, I'd say check it out. Looks really cool. We captured, again, footage of that, so that's up on YouTube as well.
Yep.
After Yonder, we didn't have a break. We went over and checked out Last Encounter, which
that's
is
right.
A really cool co-op roguelike shoot 'em up.
Yep, so very similar, and I know that this is, it's just because I've played so much, it's very similar to 10-ton shooters, but, you know, it's in a space shoot-em-up.
Definitely,
but
a little different as far, the setting.
Yeah.
But felt
like
it, yeah.
Yeah, this is where, like, and I think it's a roguelite, right? I think if, because there's permanent upgrades where you can, like, you'll, the more you play and the more stuff you unlock, you'll actually get more slots to put more weapons in, like, so there is like a sort of you're not always from the beginning always starting over
zero.
I mean, you are starting over, but you'll get beefed up and stuff. Looked like it was fun. It was actually really fun. And if they get enough support, player support, they want to bring.
Yeah, he plans on.
They plan on doing an online co-op,
which I think this game would benefit from,
just
because again, like. And maybe I'm just being selfish because I don't have a ton of people around me to play games with.
No,
but like,
I mean,
online.
Welcome
it just...
to 2018, right? Like, you have internet friends that don't live next to you. Even then, it is so much easier to play with your friend, even who lives in town with you,
just...
at their own house. I mean, it's just how it is.
And what's the cool hook about this game is that, you know, you combine your weapons. So, like, sort of like Steridan I talked about a couple weeks ago, you sort of have that two weapon slots and you can switch on the fly. This, you can combine the different weapons. So he said there's thousands and thousands of combinations between because you can combine more than just two weapons together. So just the possibilities are, they're not endless, but it might seem endless, you know, and, right. and the weapons sort of drop randomly as you're out there. And what's cool is there are, like, as far as if one player dies, another player can go pick them up. They get some of that player's life to bring them back.
Oh yeah, it's
but
like,
you can keep you can keep reviving as many times as you can.
But half your life gets taken away.
Yeah, so
cool idea. Yeah, very cool looking game.
Now this is we had a little break, got ourselves some delicious waffles with chocolate and bananas and strawberries on them.
Oh yeah, they're delicious.
And then we went up and talked to the fine people over at Nintendo.
Yeah, so
and this. Was amazing.
Yes, yes, it was. This was like, literally, like the stuff of dreams.
Yeah, for real. I mean, now as we were saying before, with like the interviews are, you know, hard work, and you know, obviously with not like you know strenuous. Oh my god, this is so tough. But like getting in, talking to people, making sure you have good questions, and making sure the capturing is all stressful.
And walking around constantly, and
yeah,
stuff
and like making sure.
And,
you get there in time, you don't want to be late, you don't want to look bad or whatever.
Exactly.
This was just like, we went up to Nintendo, we went off in a closed room, they had nice comfy couches.
Huge TV.
Yeah, like, it had to be 65 inches.
There's four switches in there, like one handheld.
Handhelds, docked.
One, yeah, and one docked. And we just got to play a bunch of unreleased Nintendo games.
Yeah, for 2.5 hours.
Yeah, it was amazing. So... like, what games?
I'm not going to do it because we sort of bounced around on the games.
Yeah, that was the... So we got really lucky because they're dual appointments. Mm-hmm. But the guy, it was snowing at that time and they had some weather issues and the other people that were supposed to be there were late. So we basically got both TVs almost the whole time. I mean, like, or half the time we got to use both TVs at the same time. But, so we played... Dark Souls, handheld.
Yeah, I actually have a list here if we want to miss one. So we got to play Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze.
Yes.
Which, it's Donkey Kong, but we did get to play with Funky a little bit.
We did. Me and Casey, which I think
we got to play co-op, which
hopefully
was cool.
The footage online is me and Casey playing, and it's I played as Cranky.
And I was Funky, and we did some trolling, trolling.
I gotta say, that is the best combo ever.
Like you said, if they made an original Donkey Kong Country, you know, 4 for the SNES, it would have been these two.
It would have been Funky and Cranky. The
lovable duo, you know?
Yes. So so we got to play that. And then we also did find out who was running the Funky Shop. And that was a pair. It's like a... It's
Tawx.
Is
the
that
parent. I believe it's T-A-W-K-S.
Yeah,
and Tawx. It's so funny. He's sitting in there with like... His wrists on his hips, you know, sort of his arms bowed out, like,
yeah.
With his sunglasses on.
And he's,
like
funky and cool. I mean, he's cool, too.
Yeah, and
know?
He's like,
so
well,
he's...
you're out there, and I'm man in the shop, I'll, you know, but don't worry, I'll give you a sweet discount,
yeah,
you know, and
yeah,
it's cute.
It's good.
It's Donkey Kong. Funky is, you know, he's pretty much overpowered. If you fall on spikes, he throws his surfboard down so he doesn't get hurt. If you do a roll off an edge onto the water... and you keep hitting the roll button, he'll sort of keep just surf along the water so you don't have to go underneath.
Yeah.
You know,
and like, he has like 6 hearts.
Yeah, he's
three,
got more hearts.
Which
he's
is crazy.
He's overpowered. And
he is, but you know what?
It's a tough game.
To me, I think it would be really fun to play through the game and play through the whole game, speed run it with Funky. Like, that just sounds like something that would be really fun. Like, it wouldn't be the easiest thing in the world. It's not like Kirby or anything.
Yeah, where you could just, what was it in, 3D world where you got like that power up if you died a few times. I literally was just like, well, you can fly to the end.
Well, that's from Donkey Kong Country as well. There's the super. They have
the same thing
in that too. Yeah, the. I remember going to Target once and seeing like this like sparkly white Donkey Kong. I'm like, what is going on?
Is that the
game?
Rabbids Donkey Kong?
Yeah.
Did it leak?
Rabbid Kong in 2010? Yeah,
Rabbid Kong.
But so. That was fun.
It is what you expect it to be. If you haven't played it, which, you know, honestly, Switch owners, a lot of people have probably not played that game.
That game...
It's a delight.
Completely deserves another re-release. Because it's
amazing.
And I did try to pry to see what Retro was doing, but they didn't give. Yeah. They didn't budge.
Those dogs. Mm-hmm. Then we... Neil got to play a Hyrule Warriors, the definitive edition. Mm-hmm. Again... Hyrule Warriors, it takes the best of both worlds, because the Wii U had the beautiful graphics, but you couldn't switch between characters.
It basically brings a 3DS game to Switch.
Yeah, and you were stuck on, you were stuck on the console, 3DS version, it was a little rough around the edges, it's a big game for a 3DS game, but they added that feature of being able to jump between your heroes, which on some of the bigger maps is, a pretty important feature. Mm-hmm. I mean, you only played the 3DS version, so that's all you knew. It sucked when you were like, oh man, like, I guess I didn't kill a few, like, of the guys who spawned the trash,
yeah,
the fodder.
Yeah, I don't understand how that wasn't part
so
of
it. So then it was like, now I gotta run all the way back and hope I get there in time.
Yeah, honestly, doesn't mean, like, how is that?
Yeah, it like, seemed how, like a huge oversight.
Yeah. But anyway, in this new game, it is awesome.
As
and
I said,
it looks amazing.
It earned the Definitive Edition name.
Yeah.
Like, without a doubt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then we got to check out Sushi Striker Way of the Sushido.
Sushido.
Yes.
Sushido.
Sushido.
Sushido. Yeah, Sushido. So this is a game that you were super, super hyped. Neil, everyone, Alex played a lot. I didn't get to play. I wanted to, but I was like, can I play? And they're like, let's do a different game. I'm like, I want to play. And I finally got to play. I played like, I think, two rounds. And I got, what did you think? I got demolished, as always. Against the.
Give or take.
Yeah. But.
Well, that was, it was funny, as it was sort of a dual appointment, when the other guy got there, we ended up actually doing local co-op.
Yeah, that was really
and,
cool.
I was like, I played it down on the show floor, granted it was only a couple matches, but I was like, beat this Jimmy down, what I mean, but probably never played the game.
That guy.
Wipe the floor with me.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah.
But talking to Demetrius afterward, it sort of got some more, like, strategical thinking of how it works. Because essentially you've got three lines of plates, and they're sort of going left and right on little conveyor belts.
Yeah.
And then there's a shared center line that you could both grab from. And what you need to do is attach the similar colored plates and get as many as you can to stack them up. And then you want to line these plates up. And then you have power-ups that sort of, when you fling a plate at the other person, does some damage. But you sort of want to, like for me, I was just, when I made one, I was flinging it no matter what, but then you learn sort of like, well, save up some big stacks, then you can use some special abilities that amplify the damage, and all that. And there's some strategic thinking where I was more just like,
yeah. And there's a lot going on in that game. I mean, like,
it's a tough,
there's both a lot going on and both, like, to me, like, I still am not 100% on this game, like, sold on it. I'm definitely interested. I definitely want to be good at it. It looks fun. It looks cool. I'm not super big on, like, every art style aspect of it. But, I mean, it looks fun. I like it. I want to play more of it. It's so weird. But the other thing to me is, like, is that it? Is that the game?
Well,
there were no other modes that we saw. There was a boss mode.
I think there's a whole single-player campaign, too, in a story.
Yeah.
So they weren't showing that off.
But we did play a boss.
Did
we recorded it too.
Okay. Yeah.
And there is touchscreen controls.
Yep.
If you play in handheld mode.
Which honestly seem a little tougher because it's so fast. Because
remember, this was made for 3DS.
Mm-hmm.
So it was made with the capacity.
With a stylus.
Stylus would be way easier and more direct, and with the finger, it's just not that good. So.
I think you can do it like in conjunction both. So you can use the button controls and then like use a touch screen for your power ups and stuff if you want, like they're pretty easily on the screen there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and there's online play, so that's good stuff.
Very cool.
Next up we had Wolfenstein 2.
Oh yeah, that was fun.
God dang it. It looks great, runs well.
It really does. I mean, like, it doesn't run as good.
I think there was like little parts where you could probably be nitpicky about the frame rate,
But
again,
honestly,
we have a bunch of video. We have a comparison video up with the Xbox One
check
version,
it out.
And
it's almost.
I mean,
like,
some lighting things and some little like
things that really don't matter to me at all.
Like,
I mean, I'm just gonna be honest.
The only way you'd notice is if you're watching the comparison video. Like,
right.
You wouldn't be able to like watch the Switch one and be like, oh, the lighting.
Right.
It sucks,
Right.
But plays really well. What's cool is you could play it a couple different ways. You could be sort of more stealthy, but you could also just sort of, like what I was doing, I was playing it like Doom, where you're just sort of running through, like hatcheting people in the face, like ripping their legs off. And,
yeah, because it was like easy peasy mode, right?
Well, I bumped it up to
you did.
Normal. So, well, that's
oh,
why
nice.
She's like, she was like, man, you're doing well, and you bumped it up. I was like, maybe it didn't register. And I looked, and I was like, but
maybe
that one
I
gun,
do
yeah,
pretty good.
Man, maybe I'm really good.
I know my way around a hatchet.
Well, for like first-person shooters, I will never claim to be a good first-person shooter, you know, especially like the aim and stuff, but I think I did well enough.
You're amazing at Splatoon.
I guess.
And that's a third-person.
Yeah, yeah. But
he's good at everything he does.
Well, thank you.
Video game wise, life wise, boo.
Life wise, you're pretty pathetic. But yeah, no, I'm really stoked for Wolfenstein, and we confirmed they're gonna have motion controls similar to Doom, where you know you can control with the left analog stick and do the aiming, you know, at with the
which
with
I
the
still
right
haven't
comp.
Got to do yet.
Yeah, me either.
But yeah, what are you gonna do?
Next up, we played some Dark Souls. I played a very small amount. Did you get a
play? I didn't get a play at all, because I didn't really want to, because I know nothing about it.
It's, honestly, Dark Souls doesn't seem like a game to me that's really a good demo game, because the whole point is it's super hard and sort of slow, like, not monotonous, but, like, you're calculated, you know what I mean? So, like, in a demo environment, you know, to build your own character. I got to play a little handheld mode.
Mm-hmm.
It looks really nice. It was running perfect. I sort of picked up where Neil left off, so I didn't know where to go, really. But I encountered a few different enemies. I mean, they were just sort of the cannon fodder, probably. And, it ran really well. I'm looking forward to that game a lot.
Totally. That's coming out next month.
Yeah. Crazy. Unbelievable. Next up here, we're getting into our sort of our indie scene here now with these last three games. Just Shapes and Beats.
This was an interesting game.
We got to play four-player co-op, which was cool.
Yep. Which is, I would highly recommend, because I think the more people you have, the easier. Because it's like, I think it does scale.
It might scale
a little
bit.
I think it does scale to it. But anyway, basically, how I would call this game Avoider, in the sense of, like, the whole thing, you're just trying to avoid getting demolished by the beats.
Don't die!
By the beats, yeah. So, there's really, you move around with the analog stick, and you dash with a button. And that's it, right?
Yeah. And so, we were playing with the Joy-Con, which worked perfect.
It felt really, really good, and
I think they called it a rhythmic bullet hell or something, or something like that.
Yeah.
Because essentially it's just like a song playing and like different things happening on the screen. So like the first couple were easy, then you get to like one that was like a dubstep song, you know. So like things are falling from the sky to hit the bottom, and then it splashes up like water, and you need to avoid it. And you can take a couple hits. Unless there was a boss too who just wrecked everyone, but
yeah, we never beat him.
Yeah, but, so like you would take damage, and then the game's always scrolling right from right to left. So if you get hurt, you can go get revived, but you're slowly moving towards the left side of the screen. And if you're off the screen, you're gone.
Okay,
but
yeah,
if you're
right.
caught before the screen, you're off the screen. One of your teammates, all they need to do is go to you. They don't
have to press something. Maybe
I thought you just literally
Maybe
just
not.
Went
Maybe
over
I'm
them.
Just, I'm thinking of the other.
And then they would be revived. So it's more beneficial to sort of stay towards the right side of the screen. Because if you die, you have more time to get revived.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, to me, that was a fun game for sure. My only issue that I had with it was, like, it was just kind of like, it was just unpredictable. And, like, you basically had to play it over and over again.
A few times
to
realize
what the patterns are going to be. And, I mean, it's just, like, I guess that makes sense. I guess that a lot of games are like that, for sure. But it's, like, it's also looking at it from a different perspective. Like, playing through the game, it's not really skill as much as it is, like, learning.
Yeah.
Learning stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's skill when you learn, when you gotta learn the...
You still need to execute.
Just
but...
keep that in mind, that really it's enemy patterns that memorizing and is a big part of the game. But
yeah,
it was cool.
I'm curious to see...
Soundtrack was cool.
Yeah, I'm curious to see more, like, what the campaign mode is. Is it literally just going through these and, like,
there's
you know
some
what I mean?
Cool humor in the game, too. Like, like the game designer, like, talks to you. Like, you thought that was it? It's not over.
Yeah.
Also,
the
like...
The boss was tough.
There's, like, checkpoints in the game, and, like... For the boss level, he's like, there are no checkpoints in this game.
But I'll give you an extra
life. Like, but I'm a nice guy, so I'll give you some more life. Like, it says that in text on there, so,
Next up here, we got Dead Cells. Now, I did not get to play this game.
I played this in handheld mode, for a few minutes, probably 10 minutes. Very cool game, looks awesome. looks it's this really cool pixel style game, like almost like really smooth animation game.
And it's a roguelike,
it's a roguelike, like side-scrolling platformer action slash game. Really hard. Definitely looking really forward to this game. I mean, there's nothing I can say that much about it. It's just like you start off and there are some sort of upgrades you can get. But I was talking to Justin Nation about it, and he said like what they have like unlocked right there was like nothing and was like really hard to get anywhere far.
Mm.
But anyway, like the gameplay felt really smooth. It was a great port. Looks great. Amazing handheld. Controlled. Yeah. Felt really good.
I got to watch some of it on the big screen. That was actually, I watched some of that and then I started playing some Dark Souls.
Yeah.
But yeah, it ran well on the big screen too. Like I said, the art is wonderful. And it's a game, I don't know if I'm going to go out and buy it for sure, but when it comes out, I'm definitely going to see, you know.
Yeah.
It seems like it could be definitely pretty interesting.
Definitely.
Now, to wrap us up, our last game was Travis Strikes Back. Obviously, good old Suda51's game from Grasshopper.
Mm-hmm.
And this, having not had too much experience with the older games, I know the structure of this game is different with the mini games in it, you know, seven, I think there's seven different games. So we went in and we played the one.
You just played one game though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was like you ran through and we were playing co-op, and it's just, it's simplistic, but felt good. Like there was, you know, a couple buttons to attack and you're running around just beating the crap out of people with I guess it's like sort of like a lightsaber. I forget the exact name,
baton,
you know,
or something.
Yeah, like a baton, but it's like electrified.
Yeah.
And like it's really satisfying to like do like a home run swing and like bam and slam them.
Oh, nice.
A couple different characters each with different abilities, and again it's a Suda51 game, so super stylistic, really cool. You know, obviously the humor's there as well. When you got up to the boss, you know, the boss is like, and you beat the boss or presumably, and he's like, then all of a sudden it's like, oh, this isn't GDC, this is PAX East. You know, we need more. And then all of a sudden you got to go into a second phase of the boss.
So good.
You know, that wasn't, playable at GDC. So I think that's going to be something that's going to probably shine through
the entire
game, you know, is that sort of...
That probably won't be in the game.
Well, not the PAX East part, but like the breaking the fourth wall wouldn't surprise me.
But that's so cool that you got to play like a build that like of like no one will ever see that again.
Yeah,
I guess if we actually we captured it.
Yeah, we got that's all up on there too, and we got I think some off screen as well. But yeah, super stylistic. I need to play No More Heroes.
Me too.
Yeah, I got them. They're sitting on my shelf.
I wonder if they bring those to Switch. I'm serious. I wonder if they do with the Joy-Cons.
Even if it was just digital download only, you know.
Yeah, I just. You know, with that Joy-Cons, I think they could do something really cool. Especially if it's like, well, if we can make it for one, we can port it to the second one for motion. So
yeah, but yeah, that was it. Then after that, we did the Nintendo Wear panel. That went very well.
Oh man, that was so much fun.
Yeah, that packed out the room, and we got video of all that. Hopefully, the audio is strong enough, and we can edit that all together and slap that on YouTube.
I think they edited it already.
You didn't even give them the footage, though.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, you gave... Oh, okay.
I gave him the footage I got.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. Well, we'll see. We'll see.
Oh, no, I gave him the...
Oh, you gave them... Yeah, I didn't... We didn't give them my camera.
Gotcha.
I think that might be something I edit. I don't know. But we'll figure that out.
It was a lot of fun. Really cool. We'll talk more about that later on.
Yeah. Good old PAXies.
Yeah, man. It was a lot of fun. A lot of work. Really tired.
Yeah.
But a lot of fun.
You know, it's fun, and then you come back to the hotel, and Perry's still here, and you're like,
oh.
I just want to be alone.
He keeps playing Cluster Truck.
Yeah, we were going to do a little talking about the games we have been playing, but I think we're getting a little long in the tooth here, and there is some Thai food to be ordered.
Yes.
Or Vietnamese, I guess we just learned.
Yes.
We thought it was Thai. We're ignorant. No, but really, a lot of great games. Again, obviously, as we've been saying throughout the whole thing, check Nintendo World Report TV on YouTube for all the gameplay and interview videos. Like I said, I know they're some up now. There's just going to be sort of a constant flow, probably for
the
next week or so.
There's gameplay. There'll be interviews, and like you said, and just straight gameplay. Exactly.
Yeah. Cool. But I think that's pretty much all we've got to say.
I think I have my piece.
Yeah, I think I'm at peace with what we've said right here and now.
Anyway, so I guess we'll see you. Who knows when we'll see you? We don't know. Probably next week at normal time.
Yeah, probably Thursday, around 7:30 Eastern.
All right, well.
Until next time.
Giddy up.
I'm trying to think of the word. Like how you would say quenched for thirsty. That's what would it. You say?
It's quenched.
No, but like for food, I'm not. I'm not full. I need. I don't know.
Satisfied?
I'm just rambling here. What's up?
Satisfied.
Is there a word like you know what? Oh, my thirst is quenched.
My hunger is.
I guess satisfied, or you
my
know, like.
Is...
There's not, like, a nice, elegant word for it, you know? Sort of like how Fabian was saying, like, listen to this, like...
Show me.
Show me, you know, like...
I want to show you this.
Yeah,
there's
but
no equivalent for,
yeah.
I want you to listen to this.
Yeah.
I want to have you listen to this.
Yeah.
There's no word, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to edit that out.
Yeah, that's all right.